Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your precious word. We thank you for your appearing to us in these days. We pray again for all of us that we would keep your word in our hearts, that your word would find a good ground in our hearts, that it can bear fruit. Pray also. We pray that you speak to us this morning, that we can see you more, know you more, and be sanctified through and through to serve you. Thank you, Lord. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful grace to be able to be here. It's not something to be taken for granted that we are here. If the Lord doesn't lead us, guide us, preserve us every single day, I'm sure we would be somewhere completely different than here today. But I thank the Lord that in this time He opens our eyes to see things that are hidden in God. That is a great privilege. Hallelujah. Especially to see that the Lord is coming soon. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Often, in the recent weeks, the past weeks, when I was looking around, I asked myself, what people busy themselves with today? I asked myself, how many people are there who really see how near the Lord is, who are awake, who focus their life on the return of the King? The Lord is coming back as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's coming back in glory. No one of us has ever seen such an appearing. And that's how He will come back soon on this earth. Wouldn't you like to know this in advance? So glorious also, now and this time, to see more and more that the Lord is coming soon, so that we can be prepared for His coming. I want to read a verse from 2 Peter 3, because this passage shows very well that when the Lord comes, He wants to find us in a certain condition. The Lord is coming in glory, in might and power, on this earth. And how does He want to find us? In what state does He want to find us when He comes? I read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Who knows when the thief is coming? In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And in verse 11, it says, therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. What a day this will be. None of us have ever experienced such a day, but this day is coming quickly. It's coming very soon. That's why Peter said, therefore, verse 11, since all these things will be dissolved, whatever we have, let's not hang on it. It's not worth it, because soon everything we have will be dissolved. Everything you have, whatever it is, it will burn and melt with fervent heat. It will become nothing. He says, what manner of persons ought you to be, O Father, to God, it matters what we are. how our heart is, how our being is, what our manner is. This is what is so important to God. It's not the works that are emphasized here. He says, what manner of persons ought you to be? How are we? How are we? When you ask yourself, how am I today? What manner of person am I today? He says we should be in holy conduct and godliness. What does our conduct look like? Is it holy? Do we have a holy conduct? Do we have such a desire that God becomes visible in us? God desires that in our conduct, people can recognize Him. Isn't that strong? He doesn't want us just to talk a lot about Him, to know a lot about Him. He wants that the way and the manner in which we live, the way we speak, makes God visible. That people can see God in the way we act, in the way we speak. So that when you are dealing with the people around you, that they notice, this person, they know God. It's a different expression, a different expression of life that can be noticed. Do you also have such a desire? Such a desire? Father, I want that your son would be recognized in my life, that your son would be visible in me, not myself. The way we are, it doesn't matter whether it looks good or bad in our eyes. It doesn't express God. I used to think, I'm a good person. My humanity is really good. I can deal with all sorts of people. But over time, the Lord showed me, your humanity is completely corrupt. It's worthless, useless. Repent and let yourself be renewed. The Lord wants, He must give us more light, that we have a desire to be transformed into His image. If I do not recognize that my being, my nature is corrupt and rotten, where will the desire come from to be changed, to be transformed? I won't have it. I will just remain as I am, and I will think, this is how I am. But no, God wants to become visible in our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, what a glorious, wonderful calling we have. And for this, it takes time and cooperation. Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord. So let us use the time that we have, for we don't have that much time left. Amen, Lord. You want to transform us. Lord Jesus. In Exodus chapter 29, we see a description of the experience that we can have with Jesus Christ, experience that we need with Jesus Christ so that God can really change us. It's a wonderful chapter. The last days I read it again and again and meditated over it to grasp more of the Lord in these verses, to recognize and know more of the Lord in these verses. The Lord really has such a wonderful goal and purpose with us. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 1, it says, "And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them, to sanctify them, for ministering to me as priests." Such a wonderful privilege. It's a privilege. It's really a privilege that God wants to sanctify us. He wants to separate us for himself. He wants to bring us closer to himself. Are you close enough to the Lord already? Don't you have a desire to be closer to the Lord? This morning I said to the Lord anew, Lord, I want to be further away from all the things of the world and to be much closer to you. Where do you want to be? Where all the things are that pass away, that are vanity, that are worthless? Or should our heart be close to the Lord? Closer and closer to him, separate. This word hallowed means sanctification. It means separation. It means you take yourself away from the things of the world and you bring yourself closer to the Lord. It's not a strange sanctification. It's a wonderful sanctification. It brings us into his presence. It brings us into the fellowship with him. That's where we want to live. Amen. You shall hallow them for ministering to me as priests. What's your job? What's your occupation? What's your job description? Priest. I know what answer I will get if I ask Toby. It's so wonderful. We have such a wonderful task, a wonderful calling, that they would minister to me as priests. Oh Lord. God really wants us to treasure this. Do you treasure this? What do you treasure more? Your job? In a company? In a town, wherever you work, your city? Or do you treasure it that your calling, your occupation is to a priest to the living God? Manuel, what is more precious to you? To be a priest. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. Doesn't matter what job we have to earn a living here on this earth, compared to the task and the calling of being a priest of the living God is no comparison. It's nothing. That they would minister to me as priests. Oh, Lord. It sounds like music to my ears, John said. This should give us an appetite for everything else that is described later on, so that we can see how we can gain Christ, how we can experience Christ, so that what God has in store for us becomes our reality. It's wonderful to have a desire to serve the Lord as a priest. And yet, God and we want it to be a reality in our everyday life. I don't want that from Monday to Sunday, I serve the world and serve other things. But then on Sunday, I remind myself, oh, I have a priestly service. It should not be this way. We are called to be priests and serve him as priests all the time, every day. What's your consciousness, Martha, in the middle of the week when you're at work? Do you still remember that you are at work to minister to the living God as a priest? Do you remember? Adam, he can remember. That's wonderful. That's what we're here for, from Monday to Sunday. And for all eternity, we are here to minister to the living God as priests. We have a wonderful calling. What God tells us, what he wants us to do in order to be consecrated to him as priests, is not like when someone says, oh, I want to serve God, that God is so excited, and then he says, okay, do something for me. Doesn't matter what, doesn't matter how, just do anything for me, be active for me, for God. That's not what God wants. There's a whole chapter here that is all about showing us what God wants to work in us so that we can serve him as priests. It takes a change in us. It takes an experience with Jesus Christ that goes beyond our initial salvation. In order to be saved, we heard already, all we need is faith, right? And in the priestly language, we need the sin offering. In the Bible, there are two offerings for sin. Two. One of them is it's in Leviticus 6, that you bring a sin offering or trespass offering. He's talking about the trespass offering. And the trespass offering deals with all of the sinful deeds that a man can do. This trespass offering deals with all of the committed sins, all of the sinful deeds. This is glorious. I read 1 John 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Does it cleanse us from some of our sins? From the small to the medium-sized sins? Or some people say, only your unconscious sins. As soon as you did something, as soon as you committed a sin consciously, purposefully, there's no forgiveness anymore. Is that the way it is? Is that so? The word here says it cleanses us from all sin. It's such a wonderful trespass offering. It can carry the sin of the whole world. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, for all of our sins, and not for ours only, which are already quite many, but also for the whole world. Wow. What a trespass offering is Jesus Christ. He really carried the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. The judgment and the guilt of the whole sin was on him. He carried it. He paid for it. That is a mighty trespass offering. We really have an indescribable God. He needs to open our eyes anew for him so that we can see how great and wonderful and glorious he is. He carried away the sin and the guilt of the whole world. And this step to accept him, we need that in order to be saved. And then once we are saved, is that good enough? To be cleansed of your sins, to be forgiven of your sins. Now we can serve God. We're forgiven, we're cleansed, we can serve God now. Is that sufficient? In Exodus 29, he says the first thing we need is take one young bull. Take one young bull. And what is this bull? I read Exodus 29, verse 14. 29, verse 14. But the flesh of the bull, with its skin and its offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. It is a sin offering. So there's a second offering concerning sin. First, the trespass offering. The trespass offering has to do with the deeds, with the sins that you have committed. But the sin offering has to do with the nature of sin that dwells in us. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that even when you don't commit anything, any sins, or when you don't do anything bad, that sin is still dwelling in your flesh? Paul even said, I know that in me nothing good dwells. He means in his flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing good. The nature of the devil dwells in our sin, in our flesh. That's why the Lord even said in John 8, he said, you don't know from whom you are. You are from your father, the devil. That's a strong thing to say. What does that mean? That means the flesh that we bear is related to the devil. Sin dwells in our flesh. This is a huge problem. This is a huge problem, right? Don't you notice it often? This flesh in you is such a problem. And then he says that we should minister to him as priests. And the first offering, the first aspect of Christ that is mentioned here that we need in order to serve him as priests, and that is the most prominent offering in this aspect of becoming priest, consecrated as priest, is the sin offering. To deal with the nature of sin in our flesh. This is very, very important for God. If we want to consecrate ourselves to him, if we want to serve him as priest, we all need a young bull. We need such a Christ who has completely overcome all sin. Don't you need him? Can you overcome sin by yourself? Mano, you're a strong person, right? Can you overcome sin all by on your own? By yourself? No. No one can. Let's read Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh is really a problem. God did. By sending his own son. Hallelujah for the son. In the likeness of sinful flesh. The Lord came in flesh and blood, as here. On account of sin. On account of the nature of the sin. To deal with it. And he condemned sin in the flesh. And the Lord there is not. In the Lord, not one single time then sin come into him. He was in flesh and blood. The word said he was tested in all matters, the same as we, but without sin. The Lord did not sin one single time. What a victory. Even though he was in flesh and blood. In John 8, he says, whom of you can prove that I sinned one single thing? No one could accuse him of anything, but even the devil himself, who challenged him, he said, the prince of the world is coming and he has nothing in me. Hallelujah. What a sin offering do we have? As a man, he overcame sin, death, and the devil, completely overcame them. It never once made its way into him. Isn't that wonderful? He really overcame all of this. He's such a wonderful young bull, such a sin offering, stronger than all temptation, stronger than all lust in the world. The devil offered the Lord the whole world with all its glory. I don't think we could withstand such a temptation. He said, all you have to do is bow before me. What did the Lord say? He said, get behind me. Go away from me, Satan. What a wonderful sin offering. The Lord completely overcame sin. The Lord completely overcame the world. Lord Jesus Christ. And we need such a Christ. In these last days, I thought of the words often, take a young bull. Take one young bull. We need this wonderful Lord. We need this wonderful sin offering. The Lord really sets us free. Lord Jesus, we praise you. You are the one who sets us free. Romans 8, verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 2. Praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. The trespass offering cleanses us of our deeds, takes our sins away from God. But that alone is not enough to qualify us to serve God. We still need this sin offering that sets us free from the might of sin, that sets us free from the reign of sin. We have such a victory in the Lord today, Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, Romans 6, Romans 6, verse 22, but now, if you have it, we can read it together, because this is really, it's really wonderful to proclaim this victory together. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Now, we should really proclaim this with boldness in faith, that now we have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. And you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord really set us free. He set us free to serve Him, to minister to Him, to live for Him. Whenever lust and flesh and temptation rises up in you, it's not only in us, it's also the devil who wants to hinder us from being holy in order to serve God. But we shouldn't just ask and flee to the Lord and ask Him to set us free. When the world comes and sin comes and we say, Lord, please make me free, please make me free. Will you be made free? This won't set us free. James 4 gives us such a wonderful word. James 4 verse 7, therefore, submit to God. We need to be subjected to God. Then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. That's so wonderful. In this world, Satan wants to use everything there that he can to hinder us from serving God as priests. Sometimes we wonder, why am I so down? Why am I so sad? Why am I so depressed? What's the problem? Because there is one, he is the problem, and that's the devil. So what should we do? The word says, resist the devil. Amen. And what will he do then? And he will flee from you. Isn't that glorious? It's so wonderful. We have such a Christ. The Lord completely put him. He completely destroyed him. He destroyed him who has the might of death. That is the devil. He has taken away the weapons of death. He has become the head of all mights and principalities. In such a Christ, it is possible for us to resist the devil. Then he says, and then the devil will flee from you. And when you're set free from sin, from death, and from this enemy, then you can really have liberty to serve the Lord. So in these days, I really treasured that we have a strong, powerful sin offering. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord in this time really encourage all of us to look to Him, to take Him. Like it says here, take one young bull. If you think I cannot, then think of this young bull. And this consecration, the more important thing about this consecration is it's daily, every day. if you read the last three verses of this consecration, verse 35 and 36, there it says, Exodus 29, 35 and 36, "Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. And you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it." Verse 37, 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Here it says, every day you shall take a bull. You shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. Verse 36, we need this liberation, this being set free every day. This process of consecration isn't just once, but it's every day, daily, 7 days a week. As long as we live in this body, in this flesh, we need this wonderful Christ, this young bull, so that we can remain holy to serve the Lord as priests. It's such a wonderful Christ that we have. So may the Lord strengthen all of us, that we can renew this consecration every day. Take the Lord and serve our God and Father. That's what He set us free for. There are two other offerings, but we don't have time to go into it. Maybe somebody else wants to share about it. But I hope that we can live in this experience to serve the Lord. One experience that was very precious to me is that this trespass and sin offering are something that we should always apply together. If I fell into sin, then it's not just enough for me to confess my sin to receive forgiveness, and tomorrow I do the same thing. How can I serve the Lord then? I will never become holy like this. But if I see that there's something in my life that brings me to fall and stumble, then I can immediately tell the Lord, Lord, you are not only my trespass offering, you are also my sin offering, to do away with this in my life so that I never do it again. Lord, you set me free. The Lord set us all free. And if we take Him as our trespass offering and sin offering, then we will truly be sanctified to serve Him as priests. Amen. He has set us free.